Danielle's taking the little ones over. Philip, I know you want to go with them, but you got to stay over here. Well, now that half the church is gone, maybe we should get up and go over there and preach. It's amazing, ain't it, what God does. It's just amazing. Hey, if you're in here this morning, you're saved. And you're saved. And you know it without a doubt. That's an amen. Amen goes right there. Right? And maybe you're here this morning, you can't say that with confidence. With confidence. Look, I don't know your heart. I'm doing this Sunday school class. It's Antioch class. Mike, I'm echoing or something. But man, I can't explain to somebody how to know you're saved. I mean, we've got the Word of God and all that. But, you know, how do you explain that? You either know or you don't know. It's, you know. You know if you're saved. You know. Deep down inside, you know. Where's Ruth? She said, I didn't have to preach this morning because that song was good enough that I wouldn't have to preach. But anyway, I took a class this week or a couple weeks ago at my new job. It's some kind of management curriculum class. They send it to you, and it's like a DISC, if anybody ever heard of that. And I'm up here on D, which is like type A personality, which was no surprises. But part of this test was vocabulary and math and things. And you have a, like, really quick, you got to, like, I mean, it's like a time. You see this little clock up here in the right-hand corner of the screen, and it's like the time, you got to get 50 questions, and you got to get it done in like 60 seconds or something. It's like nuts. And I want to get every one of them done, right? So I always taught, just pick C, pick C, pick C, pick C. And here's what the HR director of my new job told me. Brian, it says that English is your second language. I said, I'm not surprised by that because I'm horrible. I mean, vocabulary is not my thing. I mean, it was asking words and says, what's a synonym of this word? Well, first of all, what's a synonym? Right? That's what I'm thinking. I mean, English was not my strong point. You with me? But on down on the results of this test, it said that I communicated well, that I was okay. I could communicate well. So I come to this conclusion. I can talk to people really good. They just don't understand me. They just don't understand me. I hope you get something out of this message this morning, all right? I've done this message before. I did a little brief introduction part of it, if you will, to the teens long ago. They don't forget it, so it's okay. But does everybody know what this is? I didn't use this in that, but here's the thing of golf. I play golf. Chris Gore plays golf. Mike Gore. Hank. Anybody else play? Jamie, I know, plays some golf. You play golf? My brother, my dad. Anybody else play golf? No, you play golf? What's the object of golf? To start right here and go anywhere from 90 yards to some hole. I play, Ashley's got one over 600 yards that way. To hit this little ball as least amount of times as you can and get it in a hole with that end. You with me on that? Now this is the fairway. Woods. You with me on this? Stay with me. So you tee up this ball, and I'm going straight that way. Have you ever watched professionals play? They line up close to them guys swinging these golf clubs like this. Let me tell you something. If I tee this ball up right here, Lester, you in serious trouble, brother. You are in some serious trouble. Now, with Mike Gore, you're safe. It's not because it's going that way. It's just going right there. You follow what I'm saying? You with me on that? So here's my point. I was playing golf with Hank Alderman one day, and we've played. And if you ain't, Hank's a great man to play. What a lot of fun. And if you hit this ball the way we play golf, it's over here in these woods. Or it's over here in this wood. We play military golf, right, left, right, left. You know, we're in the fairway. But Hank Alderman told me it's a thing called a mulligan. Anybody ever heard of the term mulligan? In the name, a mulligan is where, okay, you hit this ball over in the woods, but you can pick it up and bring it right over here. and start over again, and that don't count. That's a mulligan. But guess what? Hank Alderman don't call them mulligans. Guess what Hank Alderman calls them? A do-over. This morning, I want to talk to you about thank God for do-overs. Amen. Everybody in this room has had a do-over in life. Hey, maybe you're here this morning, you've had multiple do-overs, right? Many, many, many do-overs. Thank God for them, right? Maybe you're here this morning, and this is your do-over to hear the gospel message preached, and God, the Holy Spirit of God, is going to speak to you this morning through this message. Let me ask you this. Would you come expecting this morning? Would you come here expecting this morning? What do you want? What's your desires? Do you want to make a difference in this community that we live in? Do you want to make a difference in your home? I also bought this ball. If anybody falls asleep, I'm dinging you with it. Put that ball up because I might get crazy with that ball. We're going to be in the book of Jonah. Jonah, bear with me this morning, okay? Hey, I need y'all to help me preach. You know what that means? Be excited. Pretend. I mean, y'all good at faking. Act like you're excited to be here. It's okay if you get vocal. It's okay to amen every now and again. Help me preach this morning. You with me? Help me preach. Maybe your thing ain't getting excited and shouting amen, but just sit right there in your chair and pray for me this morning. Right now where you're at, praying. Pray. That Burlington revival we went to last year, man, they was up on a stage, and them guys that get up there to preach, men were under that stage praying. You could hear them. When it got quiet in there, men underneath the stage praying. For that service, power and prayer. So look, if you don't want to get excited this morning, that's fine. I might not have nothing for you. Just pray for me. Pray for me, okay? I need it. Ain't nothing special about Brian Sink except I've been saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. That's the only thing special about me. Jonah. Y'all might be thinking, I am going, wait, Jonah? This is like Sunday school class for like five-year-olds here. Jonah? What in the world is he going to preach on in Jonah? I'll tell you what I'm going to preach on. God. That's what I'm going to preach on this morning. And thank God for do-overs, Hank Alderman. I shoot the best round of golf I've ever shot with Hank Alderman because he hit me by 50 do-overs. I love playing with Hank. I love it. Jonah. Hey, when you think about this book here, I've read it many times. It's a short book. I'd encourage you to do so if you haven't. Isn't it easy to think that this is a fairy tale? I mean, it's a fairy tale. I mean, think about it. A man swallowed by a fish. Swallowed by a fish. Now, whether you think that's a shark or a whale, I don't care. It's a fish. It's in the water, and a man got swallowed by it. Come on. You with me? Come on. And not only get swallowed by this fish, but how about this? Live in the belly of that fish for 3 days. What in the world was Jonah thinking? What was he seeing? He discovered quickly, very quickly, the digestive system of a fish. Whether it be whatever it is. All this stuff coming in, it gets churned up and it sits right there in your gut. He was in that mess. And let me tell you something. It may sound like a fairy tale, and we may perceive it to be a fairy tale, and we may even teach that to our little kids in fairy tale form. Okay, but let me tell you something. It's true. Whether you believe it or not, whether I believe it or not, it's in right here, and it's true. Period. Just because you don't believe it, don't mean it's not true. Every word in the Bible is God-breathed. The Scripture is not a fairy tale. And especially all Scripture is not a fairy tale, including this Scripture. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Now let me tell you something. We may assume that this book is about a great fish. It's mentioned 4 times. The great fish is mentioned 4 times. Read it. Not right now, and circle it and try to prove me wrong afterwards. We may assume that it's about this great city, Nineveh. We may assume it's about Nineveh. It's mentioned 9 times. We may assume that it's about Nineveh. We even may assume that it's about a man named Jonah. Right? It's named the Book of Jonah. Guess what? Jonah's mentioned 18 times. But also, let me tell you this. That fish is gone. That fish is gone. How often do you hear somebody talk about Nineveh? Probably not often. How about Jonah? Jonah's with the Lord right now. He's in heaven. They're all gone. Every one of them. But let me tell you something. Stay with me right here. This book is about a great God. That's what this book's about. Guess what? God, Lord, something mentioned about God 38 times in this book. This is a short book, 38 times. That's what this book's about, is a great God. And we're going to talk about that great God this morning and do-overs in life that He gives every person in this room, including me. Every person in this room, including me. This great God, the creator of the universe, who allowed the great flood. He spoke to Moses through a burning bush. He parted the Red Sea. He brought water from a rock. He sent fire from heaven. He brought down the walls of Jericho. He stopped the sun and the moon in its place. He saved Daniel from the hungry lion's den, did he not? How about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego from the burning furnace? Come on here. This is the great God I'm talking about. Jonah saved from the belly of a fish, which we'll get into. He was born of a virgin woman. He made the blind to see, the lame to walk. He raised Lazarus from the dead. He walked on the water. He calmed the sea. And let me tell you something. He's resurrected, and he defeated Satan and sin, and he's alive today. That's what I want to talk about this morning. That's what the book of Jonah is about this morning. Now notice in chapter 3 is where I'm going to be. Chapter 3. It says, and the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time. I got that circled in my Bible. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. So Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh, according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. Heavenly Father, I come to you this morning, Lord. I want to thank you so much for allowing me to be engaged in your work, Lord. There's nothing I can do here this morning, Lord, that's going to be beneficial to these people. Lord, I want you to work in and through me today, Lord. I want to feel your presence upon this message here, Lord. I want to feel your presence upon me. Lord, I just pray that you'd break that hard heart here this morning, Lord. Maybe somebody here this morning, Lord's lost, Lord. They're living a lie. They're living a false salvation deep down inside. They know they're lost, Lord. I just pray that you wouldn't leave them alone here this morning, Lord, that they would come up and get saved before it's eternally too late. Lord, we're going to thank you for what you're going to do. We love you. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're going to look at this here. Notice in 3:1, second time. Now, if you sat here if you started reading here and you didn't know what took place in chapter 1 and 2, you're going to say, man, Jonah's got it figured out, right? The Lord commanded him to do something. Oh, Jonah did it. Yay, Jonah. Right? That's what we're going to think if you start right there. Because guess what? That's what the Word of God says he did, right? Let's back on up here, though, to chapter 1. Chapter 1, first two verses there. Says, now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, however you pronounce that, I'm not good. Remember, I told you I couldn't speak good. Saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. Now here we see in this chapter the exact same thing that God told Jonah over here in chapter 3, which is after the fact. You with me on that? So he's done told him this right here. He told him this at some time before chapter 3 took place. And let me tell you something. In this, look, I don't care how smart or not smart you are. Let's read this again. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, and it said this. The word of the Lord said, arise. What's that mean? Get up. Get off your hind end. Go do something. That's what the Lord's telling him right here. You with me? You don't have to be smart to understand that. That's pretty simple. Go to Nineveh. He even tells him where to go. Probably gave him the GPS coordinates to it too. Right? Right? He gives him clear direction. But look what Jonah did. In verse 3, But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. And went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. So Jonah here is running from God. Let me tell you something. God might be speaking to your heart about something He wants you to do, and you're choosing to go the opposite way, and you're going to run from Him. And guess what's going to happen? You, me, just like Jonah here, we're going to go down. Ain't that what it said? But Jonah went to flee to Tarshish, and guess what? He went down to Joppa. You know, and he went down into this ship. You with me? Going down. You run from God long enough. Let me tell you something. You're going to go down too, and so is Brian Singh. That's what's going to happen. We will go down when we run from God. Now let me tell you, rebellion is not messing up or running when we don't have clear direction. You understand that? Rebellion is not messing up when you're or running when you don't have good clear direction or don't understand something. But rebellion is when we have clear direction, and guess what? We choose to turn the opposite way and go this way. That's rebellion. Call it what you want, but that's the facts. That's rebellion. Clear direction. Us Christians who know better but choose otherwise. Well, now, when we read this, we know the outcome. So it's easy for us to say, Jonah, don't get on that boat, Jonah. Don't buy that ticket. Don't buy that ticket, Jonah. I bet you every step he was taking, the Lord was speaking to him. Don't do it, Jonah. 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 Don't do it, Chad. Don't do it, Lester. Don't do it, Stanley. Don't do it, James. Don't do it, Brian. Don't do it, Danielle. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. How many times we just keep walking? Keep walking. Right? Me too. Don't do it, Brian. The word of the Lord, I guarantee you, was speaking to him. He could hear it very faint. Don't do it. Don't do it. But Jonah did it anyway, and he went down. So let me ask you this on this first point here. Let me ask you this. What has God directed you to do? What has God asked you to do? What clear direction has God gave you in your life? In my life? What are you doing? Are you running? Are you hiding? Are you pretending it ain't real? What are you doing with what God's telling you to do? That's the rebellion. We see the rebellion of Jonah. We've all rebelled, everybody, every one of us in this room. Now, let's look at number two, the repercussions of running from God. Verse 4 and 5. But the Lord sent a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid, and they cried every man unto his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah would gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay, and guess what old Jonah was doing? Fast asleep. This boy ain't only turning and being rebellion. He's comfortable doing it. This knucklehead's down there sleeping. Let me tell you, get complacent in your sin. It becomes normal. You start falling asleep in it. Right? Washing it under the rug. Well, at least I ain't doing what so-and-so's doing over there. That's what some of y'all thinking about some of these people over here right now. Vice versa. I hope not. I'm just kidding. But my point is, he was sleeping. That sucker done got comfortable in his sin. Let me ask you, are you comfortable in your sin? Is Brian Singh comfortable in his sin? Think about that. Jonah was sleeping. Not only was he running, he was comfortable doing it. He was fast asleep. I mean, this guy's sawing logs, man. He didn't have no problem going to sleep. Didn't have no problem at all. Got comfortable, right? Are you comfortable running from God? Are you comfortable in your sin? Let me tell you something. Look what God does here. What does it say he did? But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea so that the ship was likened to be broken. God sends a storm. Let me tell you something. Keep running from God. Keep getting comfortable where you are. Keep getting complacent in your sin you're living in. And let me tell you, God's going to send a storm in your life. God sent some storms in my life. He sent a bad one in my life back 4 years ago where I'd gotten so far away from the God, it was scary. And he sent a storm in my life, got my attention real quick like. Real quick like. And the last 3.5, 4 years since that day has been my best walk with the Lord. Not bragging on me, I'm bragging on him, because guess what? He gave me a do-over. And let me tell you, I'm glad he gave me a do-over. And he's going to have to give me another one tonight before I get here, because I'll mess up between now and tonight. I guarantee it. But he knows my heart. He knows my desire. You can't fake that stuff. Let me ask you, look at this here also. Not only is Jonah in this storm. Now look, Jonah's the only one, according to Scripture, that disobeyed what God had told him to do. But did God just not let the storm get in these other guys' lives? Let me tell you something. What's your sin doing to your family? What's your sin doing to your family? You sin, you mess up, your whole family could be affected by that. Pat, for a long time down the road. I'm not trying to beat you up here, you understand? I'm not trying to beat you up, but it's the facts. I'm preaching to myself here this morning. Our sin could be detrimental to our kids' lives, our grandkids, our great-grandkids, all the way down the line. Jonah, according to this scripture, is the only one that rebelled and is running from God, but God still sent the storm and he sent it to that whole boat. Everybody was on that boat. How about you? Like Jonah, our running, our sin, our comfortable being, our us being comfortable in that sin hurts all those around us. Notice also in verse 17 that God prepared this great fish. He prepared this great fish. Now this is let me say this. When we get out of the will of God, he will prepare a great fish for us as well. Now it might not be a fish, but it's going to be something. You know, this fish is a way out for Jonah. We like to say, man, but, you know, it's really a good thing that the fish came, right? Then, I mean, he got thrown overseas. I mean, you know, he's in the water. He can't swim forever, right? Probably a good thing he got swallowed up by this fish. Now, this is a sign of judgment. But if Jonah would have been where God directed him to go to the first place, if he would have been where God had told him to go and been in the right place with good, clear direction, there would be no reason for God to send this great fish. Same for us. If we would just do what the Lord tells us to do, we wouldn't have to worry about him sending a great fish to get us out. Third thing, repentance. Repentance. The pathway to these do-overs is repentance. For instance, I told y'all Hank gave me a bunch of do-overs. Well, how can I quit getting do-overs in a gallon of golf? Well, guess what? Learn how to play and hit it down the middle so he ain't got to give me a mulligan, right? Learn from my mistakes. The problem is I'm horrible at golf. I can't do that. But look, repentance. Repentance is the pathway to these do-overs. There's more to repentance than just emotions, outward emotions. It's what happens on the inside of you. You with me? It's not just tears. There's more to repentance than a brief emotion at a church service. There's more to repentance than a brief emotion at a revival meeting. True repentance requires brokenness, to be broke over that sin, to realize your sin put Jesus on that cross. And to keep doing it. He loved us so much that he gave himself for us. How dare us to keep going in sin? Me too. True repentance requires brokenness. To commit to change outside these church walls, not just on the inside of these church walls. Repentance must be personal. It's got to be personal. Quit saying, "Forgive me of my sins." That's broad brush. Name the sin. Call it what it is. He already knows about it anyway. Lord, help me with this struggle I'm having in life. Help me with my unforgiveness. Help me for not being genuine. Help me for temper issues. Help me for neglecting my family. Help me to get complacent just coming here and going to church instead of having church. Amen. In chapter 2, Jonah's prayer. Now look, Jonah's getting personal here. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly. He's in the fish's belly, all this gunk. And said, I'm almost done. It's a lot of them. I think that's all of them. Jonah wasn't blaming nobody but himself. Right? He ain't blaming nobody else. No blaming others. Repentance is personal. Lord, I did this. It's my fault. It was myself who got myself in this situation. Nobody else. No blaming other things. No blaming other people. And Jonah, in this chapter right here, is begging God for a do-over. He's begging God for a do-over. That's what he's doing. When we mess up, we need to beg God for do-overs as well. We need to plead with him. Lord, forgive me. Give me one more chance. Once Jonah cried out to the Lord in chapter 2, that same God that sent the great fish to gobble him up, guess what? Told the great fish to vomit him up on dry land. Can you imagine what Jonah thought when he got puked up on land? All that gunk after him. Could you imagine? I can't wait to get to heaven. I'm going to ask Jonah what it was like. Aren't you? You're going to ask Jonah? Jonah, what was that like? I'm going to be honest with you, Jonah. I didn't believe it. You know? Tell me all about it, Jonah. Think we'll have conversations like that? What's your heaven like? You ever think about that? What it's going to be like? There's Jonah with all this gunk. He got puked up. Got all this stuff on him. You with me? When God sends that great fish to gobble you up, when you come out, you got a lot of stuff on you, right? A lot of baggage. Last thing in closing, the resolution. Back in our original verses that I read, 3:1, and the word of the Lord came unto Jonah a second time. After true penance, repentance, after you've truly repented of your sins, you know what? You, me, we know what we need to do? We need to be still and listen. We need to be still and listen for the Spirit of the Lord to speak to us. Be still and listen. Is he talking to you right now? Is he? You hear him? Is he talking to you? Listen. Listen. We need to wait until we hear the voice of God. He will call us by our name. He will give us a second chance or a do-over or a mulligan, whatever you want to call it. And let me tell you something. Let's look right here. Notice what Jonah did with his do-over. We're all going to face this one day where God's given us a do-over. He's given us a second chance. He's given us a third chance, a fourth chance, whatever the case may be. And we all have a decision to make. What are we going to do with it? What are we going to do with it? We got a decision to make right there. What are you going to do with it? Let's look at what Jonah did with it. It said Jonah arose in 3:3. So Jonah arose, went into Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was exceeding a great city of 3 days' journey. You with me on this? It took him 3 days to get there, according right here. Somebody said, Jonah, it's going to take you 3 days to get to Nineveh. Flip on over to verse 4. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey. Let me tell you something. You get right with the Lord and you ask for forgiveness and he gives you that second chance and you take off running for it, you ain't going to be creeping. Jonah got there in 1 day to that great city. Why? Why? He was fired up for the Lord. He said, I don't want to go back in that big old vicious belly no more. I'm going to do what the Lord's told me to do. That sucker was high-stepping it to Nineveh. He was high-stepping it. And let me tell you, people notice this difference probably in Jonah in them days, wouldn't you say? Man, what in the world happened to Jonah? What in the world done got into him? Let me ask you this. What in the world's gotten into you? What's gotten into you? In this little town of Buchanan we live in, we think we all that. Ain't got no problems in Buchanan. How about your own family life? What are you doing with those second chances? What are you doing with them? God knocking. Hey, wake up. Enough of this nonsense. I want you to go here. I want you to do this. Throw your hands up and surrender to the Lord. Throw your hands up. Try him out. Try him out. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Just give it all to him. It's his anyway. If you saved, you don't belong to yourself. Quit kidding yourself. Amen. If you saved, you was bought with a price. That's what I told my Sunday school class this morning, right? See, y'all good to me. My Sunday school class is good. So anyway, what are you doing with your do-overs? Maybe you're here and you say, man, I don't know about these do-overs. I don't know about them. I don't know what you're talking about. One of two things. Either you lost or you done got so comfortable in your sin you done fell asleep. What is it? I don't know your heart. The person beside you don't know your heart. God knows your heart. You with me on that? I hope I didn't confuse nobody. Thank God for do-overs. Thank God for Hank Alderman, who just out there playing an old golf game one day, used the do-over for me to come up with this message right here. God spoke to me through Hank Alderman. Ain't that something? Pay attention to those little things God puts puts in our life. You know what I mean? That you might not think make a difference. I'll never forget that. That's something I'll carry to my grave one day, is Hank Alderman and do-overs. And me and Mike Gore and whoever ever plays with Hank, we love playing with him. We shoot like better than the pros those days because of all those do-overs. You with me on that? Y'all love the Lord? Amen. I do. Do I love him the way I should? No. I want to get better at it. Let's be a church that's on fire for the Lord, right? Amen. Let's be your own Christian walk. Grow in Christ. Want that relationship to be better. The revival break through this church, break through this whole community, man, and people will say, looks like Jonah, what in the world's going on up at that place? You want to see this church full? Live the life that you got in. Live the life that you're supposed to be living as a Christian, and that's all you got to do. You don't have to know everything. Just be a Christian, genuine, 100%, all the time. Love the Lord with all your heart, all your mind, all your strength. Surrender to him. I don't care how old you are, how young you are, how long you've been a Christian, don't matter to me. He can use you. Amen. He can use you. You all got something to do for the Lord. Do it. Amen? Amen? I'm done. Paul?